Everybody, if you got your Bibles, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. What Brother Drew was talking about the snake yesterday, me and him went out to look at some hunt land over at his property, and we're trying to pay attention to snakes, but this thing just came out of nowhere. We went down to this little bottom, and it's real wet, little creek running through there, but this Brother Drew was out in front of me, and the next thing I know, I feel something brush up against my feet or my boot. And I see this snake going off this way. So I holler at Brother Drew, telling the snake. Well, then the snake goes off into the creek. And I couldn't see it in the creek, so I get a stick, start poking around trying to find him. So all of a sudden now we went from looking at hunt land to becoming snake hunters. But anyway, when the snake did service, I pull out my 9mm and I'm shooting at this thing, and I ain't hit a shit. So I done shot 7 shots and I ain't even touched the snake. So I reload it, shoot 3 more times, and finally kill it. But you know, we was very, very blessed that we didn't get snake bit yesterday. Yeah, heat stroke, yeah. That's right. Anyway, this morning, I want to talk about prayer and the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." God's word is the basis and the directory of prayer and faith. We should have the Word of God dwelling in us in abundance. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we have had God's Word from the beginning, and it came to us in written form in the King James Bible. As saved Christians, as we read and study God's Word, the Holy Spirit helps us understand and make sense out of things in God's Word that the lost people won't understand. As saved Christians, through God's Word and the Holy Spirit, we can do things that we wouldn't do as lost people. You know, I think about what I just read that right there, and us doing things through the Holy Spirit that we wouldn't do as lost people. And I think about the things that I used to do, you know, and that the things that the Lord had brought me from and took me from, and how he has changed, you know, not just the way I look at things or the way I study his word or read his word, but even now the way I dress. In 2010, when I first started going back, now I was saved, but when I'd been out of church for a long time, but when I started going back to church, I just went to church. It didn't matter how I looked. I might go to church and cut off shirt or something and didn't think nothing about it. It didn't bother me. And I ain't saying that that's wrong, you know, because I think you ought to go to church. But slowly, as the years went by, the Lord dealt with me on some things. And some of the things, he just took right away from me. But some of the things, I had to put in some work. I had to pray and trust him to take those things away from me. As saved Christians, through God's Word and the Holy Spirit, we can do things that we wouldn't do as lost people, but it takes complete surrender to the Lord to be in complete obedience to the Lord and to do the things that he wants us to do. We will have to do things that the flesh doesn't like. We will have to do things that are out of our comfort zone. We ought to trust the Lord and have faith that no matter what he has for us to do, if we will just surrender to his will and trust his word, he will see us through. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, just like what it says right there, it said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." You know, the Lord, he'll do things through us that we can't even imagine if we'll just surrender and let him. You see, the Lord will make a way when we think there is no way. We shouldn't be afraid to do the things that the Lord has for us to do. We can't do them on our own, and that's a fact. But that's where faith and prayer comes in. Look in Exodus chapter 4. And you'll find me use these verses here quite often, because this is the first, some of the first verses that the Lord showed me when I surrendered to teach. You know, he just like it says here in verse 10, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereforto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." You know, you see that Moses said that he was slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know, that seemed like a pretty good excuse to me not to get up here and teach. But the Lord, you know, he saw fit to use me if I would just surrender to him and obey him. In verse number 12, it says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." You know, he didn't tell Moses, "Hey, you need to learn all this and this and this before I use you." No, he told him to go, and that he would teach him what he should say. God is not going to give us anything that is too hard for us to do. It doesn't matter what your background is. Look over in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Right here, when it's talking about if he found any of this way, he's talking about Christians, is what he's talking about. Saul was living a life of sin. He had hatred in his heart toward Christians, but then the Lord got his attention. Look in verses 3 and 4, it says, "And he journeyed, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul didn't say, Hey, let me get my act together, or let me stop doing this or doing that, or I'm not qualified and good enough. Now, if you look down in verse number 6, it says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Well, you know, we need to take God at his word. He told Saul to arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We need to take God at his word when he tells us to arise and go. We don't need to question the Lord, and we don't need to doubt him either. If the Lord can take a lost man like Saul that was persecuting Christians and convert him, he can certainly use sinners like me and you. We just need to be willing. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." The Lord told Ananias to go out and meet Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Saul was now a Christian. Saul went from persecuting Christians to becoming a Christian. God can do what no man can do if we will just trust him. And look down in verses 13 and 14, it says, "And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done of thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Ananias had his doubts about Saul and reminded the Lord about all the things that Saul had done in his past. You know, we all have a past, and sometimes that's how we are judged by the world and even by other Christians. People say, "Hey, do you remember what they did way back when?" Jesus Christ died for all of our sins, not just some of them. In First John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And he is a propitiation for all our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You see, Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15. It says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." You know, if you're a chosen vessel for the Lord today, say amen. It says, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." You see, the Lord told Ananias that Saul is a chosen vessel. The Lord chose Saul just like he has chosen us. The Bible says in John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You see, the Lord chose Saul to bear his name before the Gentiles. The Lord said, "For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles." Paul would later make frequent references to the fact that he was called of God to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Paul said, when it pleased God, it was God's good pleasure in his gracious purpose who separated me from my mother's womb. You see, God has a plan and a purpose for us even before we are born, but it's up to us to whether or not we're going to trust him at his word and obey him. Paul said that the Lord called me by his grace. It was by means of grace that the Lord called Paul out of darkness into light and made him a chosen vessel, a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. Now, I thought about what Paul was called to do. He was called to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And I thought about that just yesterday as me and Brother Drew was out visiting some people. And we're called to tell people about Jesus. And we are called to warn people about a place called hell. And I pulled this little track out of my Bible this morning. And it says, yes, there really is a place called hell. But I'm not going there, right? They're asking a question. They don't know if they're going or not. So it's up to us to go and try to help people and explain to people that there is a place. Tell them about hell. We need to tell them about Jesus, and we need to tell them about hell, and we need to tell them how to keep from going to hell. Because many lost people, they don't know how to get to heaven, and you know, they question, you know, whether or not they're going to go to hell. Are you in a place in your walk with God so that you don't need man's opinion about God's plan for your life? Paul said, but when it pleased God, it's about knowing what God's will is for our lives and not man's opinion of what God's will is. You know, I've had people tell me in the past, you know, "I believe God wants you to do this," or "I want God to want you to do that." But, you know, I can't tell you what your will is, that what God's will is for your life, just like you can't tell me what God's will is for my life. You know, it's something that's between me and the Lord, what the Lord wants me to do, just like it's between you and the Lord. You know, we can get man's opinion on it, but it doesn't really matter what man thinks if it's going against what the Word of God says. What was Paul called to do? He was called so that God could reveal his Son in him. He was called so that he could tell others about Jesus Christ. It says in Galatians 1:16, to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. You know, in the heathen, that's the lost world. That's who we need to be telling about Jesus. And thought about this on visitation again yesterday. There's a lot of people that don't know who Jesus Christ is. A lot of people that don't want to hear who Jesus Christ is. We are commanded to go into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We should be doing what we can to tell others about Jesus. The final object of God's revelation to Paul was that he should go on proclaiming Christ to others. Who was Paul sent to tell about Christ? He was sent to preach among the heathen. God not only told Paul whom to preach to, but also where to preach. He told him to preach among the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the children of Israel. What has God called you to do? Where has he called you to go? What church has God called you to attend? Do you go to a certain church to follow the world and to please the flesh? Or are you at the church that the Lord wants you to be at, ministering to and uplifting those around you? You know, a lot of times we go to a church and attend a church because that's where Grandma and Grandpa went, or that's where we got other family at. Even though that they're not teaching the Word of God, it's not sound doctrine, it's not the King James Bible, but we go to please our kinfolks or to please a friend or something like that. But we need to be in the church and be doing the work that the Lord wants us to do where he wants us to do it. Paul said in Galatians 1:6, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul trusted the Lord, so there was no need to consult with man about what God had said. If we ain't careful, we can get caught up in man's traditions when we take man's word over the word of God. You know, a lot of times I'll see somebody say something or hear something on the radio, and it might be a Bible verse that they said or something like that, and I'll think to myself, well, that ain't what my Bible says about that. And if you don't read and study your Bible, then you don't know what your Bible said about that. And that's a long time, I didn't know that there was a difference between the King James Bible and all these other Bibles. And the Lord, and we went, thankfully, when we started going back to church, we started a Bible-believing Baptist church. The Lord put us there, and we got shown the difference. But up until that point, we didn't know the difference. Look over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Here in Matthew 16:17, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know, a lot of times when you get in God's Word and read God's Word, he'll reveal things to you through the Holy Spirit that flesh and blood, that man or the flesh wouldn't comprehend, wouldn't understand, but through the Holy Spirit we can understand it. Flesh and blood suggests human weakness and ignorance and represents human as opposed to divine wisdom that come from the Lord. Man could not add anything to God's revelation. If God has given you the truth, and he has, it's all in his word. And if you got a King James Bible, you have the perfect word of God. There is no need for man's suggestions from all those other versions. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:23, buy the truth and sell it not. You know, that's a lot of what's wrong with the world. People know the truth, but they have sold out to the world. You know, a lot of them follow after man's traditions, and they don't worry about what the Lord has said. back in Acts chapter chapter 9, verse 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 16, it says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So when we get saved as Christians, you know, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to endure, some things that we're going to have to go through as saved people. You know, just as Saul had been the minister of much suffering to many believers, he himself would now be the recipient of much suffering, both at the hands of other believers and especially at the hands of his own kinsmen. You know, I can tell you from personal experience, when you start following the Lord and start living for the Lord and start putting away all the worldly things and quit listening to this kind of music and quit drinking and quit doing tobacco and all this kind of stuff, there's people that's not going to hang around you. Kin folks ain't going to call you and invite you over for a barbecue. You just have to set yourself apart and be different. When we choose to obey the Lord and do the things that he would have us to do, there are going to be family members that don't want to be around us. We will lose friends because they no longer choose to do the things that we used to do when we are in God's will and trying our best to live a life that is pleasing to him. We should be different than the lost world around us. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." You know, the first thing we need to do is we need to be not conformed to this world. We need to be different from the world. And then the next thing we need to do is we need to get in God's Word and read and study God's Word so that our minds will be transformed. And I know that sometimes that's hard to understand, but the Lord, he will change the way you think about things and how you think about things and the things that you think about. And it says also that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, if you want to know what the will of God is, you need to ask God, Hey, Lord, what you got for me to do? What you want me to do? My question for you today is, what is God's will for you in your life? He truly wants you to completely surrender to him. He might be waiting for you to say, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" You know, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You know, people like the pastor said over at camp a few weeks ago, he said, "What time is it?" It's harvest time, people. We need to get out into the field and be ready for the harvest. Yeah. And that's what I have for today. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and your truth, Lord. I pray that you just be with Brother Drew in the next hour, Lord. I pray that you just use him as a mouthpiece, Lord, and just speak through him. I pray that you be with the ones that's on their way traveling to get to church. I pray that you just open our minds and our hearts and our ears, Lord, that we'll receive it, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.